If you have your Bible, can I encourage you to turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is not only the most well-known of all the Psalms, but in actual fact, it's probably one of those parts of Scripture that is the most well-known part of Scripture by people who are regular in their worship of Jesus, and also by many, many people who never enter across a church's threshold. Psalm 23 is just one of those portions of Scripture that is incredibly well known. And that familiarity is a good thing if we take time to think through all that it's saying and to apply it and to build a life on the promise of it. But that familiarity is also one of those things that can keep people from actually taking the time to think through a little bit about that psalm. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24, the three of those psalms together are always worth reading and always worth looking into. In Psalm 22, we get that wonderful messianic picture of the suffering of Jesus. In Psalm 23, we get this glorious picture of the shepherd and of friend, and we'll look at both those things tonight. And then we get the King of Glory in Psalm 24. David is writing Psalm 23 as king at the time he writes, but one of the most powerful things is that although he's king, he's never forgotten that he was a shepherd. And he's never forgotten that his kingly position calls him under God to shepherd the people. And there's great application in so many different ways in the context of Psalm 23. But let's read familiar words and then pray that God would just open up our eyes and our hearts to see and to receive, and our ears to hear just what God wants to speak into our lives tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this word, and we pray, Lord, that in these moments you would speak into all of our hearts, into all of our lives. And in the ministry of your word and your spirit this night, you would touch and transform us. You would equip and enable us. You would strengthen and reassure us. Move, we pray, in precious and powerful ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is so often sung in so many different formats, and we'll sing one of those formats in a little while, just as we reflect back on what God would say to us. But here is a psalm that in many ways has got an incredible simplicity. But never allow the simplicity of the psalm to give you an impression that there's no depth, there's no strength. This is an incredibly deep and an incredibly strong psalm for all its simplicity. There's a contentment about Psalm 23, but notice that I say the word contentment, not the word complacency. There's a contentment about Psalm 23. And I think it's probably that simplicity, it's probably that contentment that in actual fact so often has endeared it to the hearts and lives of so many and has become such a popular choice amongst the people of God in times of trial, in times of difficulty, and even as we know, during death itself. It is the most popular hymn chosen at funerals. And when you get into the content of it, it's little surprise that that's the case. For there is a simplicity, and there's a contentment, and there's such a strong message of reassurance, and of hope, and of eternal reality, that folks are going to choose it. But in one level for you and I tonight, if we capture the opening lines, and we capture them in that way, that this is our testimony, that this is our story, that this is our song, then in actual fact, you know, it will set us up for life. It will set us up for life. And David is reflecting, and he gives us two pictures of his God and of our God. And the two pictures are one of God as shepherd, and then incredibly, even more intimately, one of God as friend. Now think about that just for a moment. David so often, when he's writing Psalms, speaks about the kingly, the sovereign, the almighty, powerful reign of God. So many of the Psalms have got that kingly theme to them. But here, in Psalm 23, he's writing with a pastoral heart. You know, there's a real sense in which I was thrilled that the way it fell, that I was sharing Psalm 23 before I go off for 3 weeks holiday, because it's a real pastoral psalm. And David is writing in a pastoral way, and he says, I want you to get your head around this incredible thought. The God of all creation, the one that Cal was speaking about when he talked about, you know, the witness, you know, to God and the heavens and the created sphere. The God of all creation, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one, the God who, as Stan reminded us last week, in Christ Jesus, who bore our sins on Calvary's cross, who was the substitutionary atonement for us, that God is our If you get this, this is one that just keeps you for life. And David's writing and he says, the Lord, that God, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he says two words that in actual fact are just the takeoff platform for the rest of his days. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall. Now, we always run on and we go, I shall not want. And we run on to, you know, all the places where he takes us, and we run on to the valley of the shadow of death. But just get that first line. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall. Well, if God is your shepherd, you shall conquer. If the Lord is your shepherd, you know, you shall know him in every experience of life. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall experience God's provision, God's protection, God's enabling, God's equipping, God's presence in absolutely everything. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall. That's incredible. When you really get that, the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I cannot go through. There's nothing I cannot face. There is nothing I cannot endure. There is nothing that, in actual fact, as Paul writing to the church, to the Romans, says, you know, there is nothing that shall separate me from the one who is my shepherd. And so David, you know, brings us this beautiful song of praise. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, when David was a shepherd, and when he was thinking about the, you know, shepherds there, it was very different from the shepherds we have here, because Eastern shepherds, in actual fact, went out ahead of their flock, and their flock followed them. They weren't driving the flock from the back. In actual fact, they were leading the flock from the front. And there are basically, you know, three principal truths that come out of the imagery of God as a shepherd. And they are to do with God's guidance, and they are to do with God's providing or his provision, and they are to do with God's protection. And those three images of God as a shepherd who guides, who provides, who protects. What more do you need? What more do you actually need in life? If God will guide you, if God will provide for you, and if God will protect you, what more do you need? And that's what he's want to convey to us. And the shepherd, you know, the David, drawing upon his own experience, drawing also on the experience of those Eastern shepherds, was the one who took care to make sure that the sheep, you know, found, you know, or were led to, not found, led to the right pasture lands. You know what I mean? Sheep are fairly stubborn animals, and sheep, in actual fact, are kind of, you know, not exactly forward planners. You know what I mean? Sheep don't sort of, you know, think beyond where we're eating right now. Sheep don't sit there and think about, you know, if I eat this lot today, what am I going to eat tomorrow? And they don't think about the changing seasons, and they don't think about, you know, what am I going to need next week, next month, next year? You know, how am I going to get, you know, from here to here? The shepherd's job is to guide the sheep into all that they need in order to thrive. And we've got to catch a fresh vision of God as our guide, the one who knows what we need, and the one, the only one who actually knows what next week, next month, next year actually look like and will actually entail for us. But, you know, we're the masters of anxiety. We're the masters of fretting. We're the masters of worry. We're the masters of kind of trying to read the future before the future actually happens. That's actually one of the best definitions of anxiety and worry. You know, I'm concerned about the future before the future happens. And you can do hee-haw about the future, but there you are right now, and rather than enjoying the moment, you're anxious about the future. And he wants us to get a picture of God as guide. The Lord is my shepherd, and in the same way as I would guide my sheep, making them lie down in green pastures, leading them beside still waters, restoring them, refreshing them, renewing them, nourishing them. We'll come to that in a moment or two. That's what God is going to do. This is the picture. The Lord is our shepherd, and he will guide us. He will guide us in any and in every circumstance and situation. There is no circumstance which is too difficult for God. In actual fact, there is no circumstance which takes God by surprise. He's guiding. Not only is he guiding, but he's providing. Now, you know, in David's case for the sheep, it was actually the material provision of their daily wants. And, you know, one of the beautiful, simplistic prayers of the Christian life is, give me this day my daily bread. And the Lord has promised that he will give us what we need. Notice that here, give us what we need. Our problem is we don't want to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We want to pray, Lord, you know, don't just give me daily bread. You know what I mean? Like, fill the cupboards, fill the freezer, fill the fridge, you know, fill, you know, every room, fill every wardrobe, fill every space that I've got just with stuff. Because somehow I'm going to find some sort of false meaning in the stuff that I gather. But the reality is the shepherd's leading the sheep, and the sheep are following the shepherd, and he's guiding them, and he's feeding them, and they're being nourished. And there's a very real sense in which pastorally, biblically, spiritually, God is going to nourish us physically, but he's also going to nourish us spiritually. And one of the kind of tragedies of places that call themselves churches today that don't preach the Bible and don't obey what God has said and don't feed people out of God's word is, in actual fact, they're impoverished. But the Lord is my shepherd, and he will guide, and he will provide. He will feed me. He will nourish me. And in the context in which David was writing, to be a shepherd, and we know this from some of the accounts of, you know, the shepherds, of how they had to protect their flock, the Lord is the one who will protect his flock. The Lord is the one who will keep them safe. Now, you and I are all okay with this when that's at a theoretical level. But when that theoretical level becomes the pain that I'm going through, the diagnosis that I have, the experience that I'm in the midst of, theory becomes practical reality, and we need to get to that place where we're able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall. I'm not going to go through this on my own. He's leading me away. He's going to provide for me in this way. And I need not fear any evil, because he is the one that will protect me in whichever way he deems fit. And it's actually the most beautiful picture of the provision and the protection of God. And David, you know, is able, even in the midst of it, to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And what we've got, as well as this guiding, as well as this leading, as well as this protection, is presence. Now, the Christian faith, this relationship which you and I have in Christ with God, is the promise that God is our shepherd who will guide. God is our shepherd who will provide. God is our shepherd who will protect. God is our shepherd whose presence will be with us. Now, notice, this is not about you and I. Ultimately, this is for God's glory. Because in actual fact, that also comes out in the context of the psalm, because it leads me in paths of righteousness, not for my benefit, but for his name's sake. The interesting thing is you and I do benefit, but we benefit for the glory of God. It's all about God's glory. God delights to be our shepherd. Now, you and I could sit back and marvel that God would be our shepherd, but here's the thing. God is our shepherd because being our shepherd, that is the one who guides us, the one who provides for us, the one who protects us, the one who, you know, his presence is with us. All of that glorifies him. All of that magnifies him. All of that lifts him up. And you and I are caught up in the worship of that, and we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall. That's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Now, there's a word in there for those of us who would be pastors of flocks in terms of churches. There's a word in there for those of us who would be called to pastoral leadership, that under God, we're responsible for guiding the people of God. We're responsible for feeding the people of God. We're responsible for protecting the people of God from the wolves that would try and attack. We're responsible for making sure that all that we do is for the glory of God. But we get this wonderful picture in Psalm 23 of God, you know, guiding, providing, protecting. Now, interesting enough, there's another little aspect of this, because he said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And here he's speaking about the shepherd's crook as as protective and as looking after him. But you probably noticed this morning, if you were following that little Ecclesiastes introduction, that the shepherd's crook also had a little pointed end to it. And the little pointed end, in actual fact, was just that when sheep, stubborn as they are, go astray, God will land you one. Because he loves you and longs to bring you back. He loves you and longs to bring you back. In actual fact, it was not uncommon in Eastern shepherds' days, and it's still the case even today in Eastern shepherd skills, that in actual fact, when they get a kind of repeated wanderer, you know that great wee song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. You know, whenever they got a repeated wanderer, you know, a sheep that just would not stay with the flock, that in actual fact, the shepherd would give them such an almighty whack that the sheep would become a little bit lame. And people would sit there and they go, oh, look at that sheep, it's lame. And the shepherd's response to that would be, yes, it is. I lamed it. Because in actual fact, they just kept wandering. And there are times when the discipline of the Lord is quite severe on us. Because our wandering from his protection and his provision and his guidance requires corrective action. That's the part we don't like about the Lord as my shepherd, you know. We love the feed me, provide me, be present with me, protect me. Whack. Stop the wandering, John. But it's a beautiful picture. And it's a picture of who God is for us. It's a picture of who we ought to be as the church for one another, particularly those called of God to leadership in the life of the church. And it's one of those pictures that when you get it, you kind of realize this is for where it really matters. This is for the everyday trench life. This is for trench life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall. So he gives us this beautiful picture of the shepherd. But then what he does is he just moves out of that. David moves seamlessly out of the shepherd imagery to a different imagery entirely. He's still speaking about God. He's still speaking about the relationship that he has with God. He's still speaking about the intimacy that he enjoys with God. And what he's now doing is he's actually taking that intimacy a little step further. And he's going to talk about friend. But just before he does that, let's leave the shepherd for a moment and talk about the sheep. of sheep are you? What kind of sheep are you? You see, the beautiful picture that we have in those four verses, and I'm going to come back to verse 4 right at the end, but the beautiful picture we have in those four verses of God doing all that for his sheep require something on the part of the sheep. It'll come as no surprise that it's only the sheep who follow that will actually end up in the place where God wants them to be. It'll come as no surprise that it's only the sheep that trust the shepherd that in actual fact will end up, you know, being where the shepherd wants to take them, providing for them the way the shepherd wants to provide, not having to receive the shepherd's sharp tack because he's had to leave them to go and retrieve the one that won them. So there's a call upon you and I to follow. There's a call upon you and I to trust. In short, in actual fact, there's a call upon you and I to love. One of the most fascinating things in studies of shepherdry is that in actual fact, the sheep have an affection. The sheep have a love for the shepherd. In the same way that we speak of our dogs, or in David's case, his cats, you know, being the only ones that actually show, you know, love and affection. You know, the reality is the sheep have a love for the shepherd. And there are many ways in which they've kind of proven, you know, this kind of scenario of how the sheep follow because they love, follow because they want to be with, follow because they know there is nowhere better than in the presence of the shepherd and in what he provides in his protection and in his provision. I suppose in a sense the real question is, do you actually love Jesus? I don't mean do you believe in him. Do you love him? Is he the fairest of 10,000? Is he the one that life is truly all about? It's interesting, isn't it, when Jesus was speaking to Peter, his question was, do you love me? Not because Jesus needed any reassurance about who he was in himself, but in actual fact, the most important thing for Peter was to learn what it is to love Jesus. Does God guide us? He guides us very clearly in his word. Does God guide us? He guides us very clearly by his spirit. Does God guide us? He guides us by word and spirit. And it all revolves around the person of Jesus and honoring and glorify him. The degree to which we love him is the degree to which we will follow. Do you long for the presence of Jesus? Is your heart hungry for prayer simply because you get to be in the presence of the one who not only loves you with a love that you cannot fully comprehend, but you love him with a love that you cannot describe? Do you love me? And David moves in his imagery to the intimacy of the friendship. I often, when I read Psalm 23, think about John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. We're going through John's Gospel, you know, at different times in the Sunday mornings. But I think here we get something of that intimacy. I'm going to come back to verse 4 in a moment, but you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Here is the welcome of a of a special friend. Here's the welcome of a favored guest. Here's the blessing poured out on the head of the one that God counts as precious. And here is the cup placed in your hand. And notice what it says, "My cup overflows." My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, there's the contentment, but it's not a complacency, because we know he's the shepherd who'll discipline us as well as protect us. It's not a complacency. "But my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord," not just for a moment, but forever. My cup overflows. And my friends, if ever you want a little word study, you look at, you know, the place of the cup in Scripture, and when we should be drinking the cup of the Lord's wrath, because that's what all of our sin and all of our fallenness and all of our shame deserve. We don't drink the cup of the wrath of God. Jesus Christ, we learned about it last week, drinks the cup of the wrath of God. He takes that upon himself. And so what does he do? He lifts up a different cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And the overflow of the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness." And we are given a cup that overflows, and it's an overflowing cup of goodness and mercy and forgiveness and reconciliation and friendship with God. And he welcomes us to his banqueting table. And there's a day coming when there'll be a great feast in the kingdom of God, and our cup will overflow. But the cup is already overflowing. That's what he wants us to see. Here's a shepherd that is guiding us. Here is a shepherd that will provide for us. Here is a shepherd that will protect us. Here is a shepherd that will never leave us. Because of our stubbornness, he'll whack us now and again. But learn to follow. Learn to trust. Learn to walk in obedience to him. Your cup overflows. Goodness and mercy. Even in the midst of dark times, difficult times, despairing times, the cup overflows, because Christ is an all-sufficient Savior. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that the blood of Christ, that the all-conquering Jesus, cannot overcome. And he comes to us in a pastoral way. He says, "I am your shepherd. Because I am, I shall." My cup overflows. Now, don't miss a shepherd leading, and don't miss the fullness, the wholeness, the generosity, the overflowingness of God's grace and mercy to us. And don't miss that the pivotal verse in the midst of it, verse 4, is this: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." In other words, he puts his finger in the one thing that can be a fear maker, a fear creator, a trembler for all of us. "Even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me, and your rod and your staff, you comfort me." The provision of God is an absolute provision for every moment. And you know, my friends, I've said to a few of my close friends recently that since November, Linda and I had a couple of nights away in November, and we haven't been away since November last year. And since November, the pastoral responsibility and the response to people, it has been absolutely relentless. Since January, most often in this building, not completely, but most often in this building, there's been 10 different coffins. And you could look at that and you could despair. But Psalm 23 doesn't allow us to. Psalm 23 actually lifts up our head. It says, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm a God who's good for every circumstance. I'm a God who is able in any and every circumstance. And we need the pastoral affirmation. We need the pastoral encouragement. We need the pastoral promise. We need the pastoral reassurance. We need to receive from the hand of our shepherd the reality of all that David was writing about in this psalm of praise. Do you love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Is it all about Jesus and not about you? Is Jesus everything for you? Last week we got a beautiful picture of all that he did for us, of the price that he paid. This week we get a little insight into all that he provides for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall. In whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever the experience, I shall follow. I shall trust. I shall love. For he will guide. He will provide. He will protect. And his presence will be more than enough to cause my cup to overflow. And may the overflow of our cup be one of praise and adoration for our God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall. Minister to us in these moments. Where we're afraid, take away our fear. Where we're doubting, strengthen our faith. Where we're struggling, help us to see you. Help us to sense your presence. Where we're in need, help us to trust you. Father, keep us from trying to sort it all out ourselves. Instead, enable us to walk, following you, trusting your guidance, experiencing your provision, knowing your protection, and all of that for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name.